your prayers tonight. I'd like to look into Proverbs 31 and 10th verse. I ask the Lord to help me tonight with this. I felt really inspired to teach about it. It starts in the 10th verse of the 31st chapter of Proverbs. And all of this is directed toward women. I believe that the brethren can get a blessing from it. They can look at it in their own walk with God, and also I believe the Lord can bless them. It says, "Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband does safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life." Instead of continuing and read it all, I'm going to just start with these verses and go on. But who can find a virtuous woman? How can you find a woman like that? I think anyone here that is wanting a wife someday, and some that already have wives, should be very thankful if they have a virtuous wife. But who can find one? You know, only God can help us to find that special person. Only God can help us to find a woman like that. Only God can make us a woman like that. It takes God, it takes salvation, it takes the Holy Spirit. It takes a willingness for us to be a woman like that. But we cannot depend on our own ability to find a woman like that. The scripture there says, who can find a virtuous woman? It doesn't mean that you can't find her, but it's going to take God in your life to work for you to find her, to put that together, that match together. If we think that we can find her on our own without God leading us, we're going to make a sad mistake. Not only a mistake, we can ruin our life. So we need God to help us. Who can find a virtuous man? It takes God. But it says, who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. Think about rubies as ornaments on the world, and worldly women wear a lot of ornaments, don't they? There are a lot of rubies, a lot of jewelry, or deck themselves with all these ornaments. But her price, a virtuous woman, her price is far above rubies. She doesn't need those kind of ornaments. Her ornaments is from God. God makes her the kind of woman she should be. The heart of her husband does safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. I think about husbands, how they work so hard and earn the money, and they trust the wife. I trust the wife to take that money and spend it right. And lots of times the woman has a lot of charge in that home. She has to buy the groceries. She has to buy the clothes for the family. She has to give the gift giving. She's responsible for the decorations maybe of the home. Lots of things. And you go on and read it farther along. It says, she considereth the field and buyeth it. A woman makes the home. The man provides, but the woman is a very big part of that home, to make that home happy, to guide that home, and to be a Christian woman, not only a home in our personal family, but in the church. It takes women of God to be, and men of God to be what they should be, to make the church. The church isn't the building, it's the people, and it takes us to be strong. Virtue means, I'll read that, it says, virtuous is characterized by moral virtue, righteousness, a woman of strength. Virtuous also means a woman of strength. Wisdom and grace and the fear of God is what makes a woman of strength, because women are known as the weaker vessel. Physically, we are. We do not have the strength a man has. Physically, God created us as weaker vessels. But in our spirit and in our soul, we can have strength. We can be just as strong as a man in the spirit. And God wants us to be full of grace and strength. And it says here, a good woman, virtue, I wanted to read this a little bit, to do or accept with an agreeable or positive attitude that which must be done or accepted anyway. A positive attitude about what has to be done and acceptance of that. You know, it can get to be, we don't want it to get to be a drudgery. That every day, you know, we wake up and there's a house to clean. There's dishes to do. There's meals to cook. Every day. If you have children at home, there's children to care for. Every day. It can almost seem like it's just a routine. Day in and day out. But I want to encourage you tonight that God is looking upon a virtuous woman. A woman that will do her work and be courageous about it and be strong and love the Lord and love her business. A woman has a business. A woman has a business for God in that home to be a guide and to be a blessing. It says here, a good woman or wife, there is a good reason there is so much stress put upon it. It keeps up religion and families and the prosperity of the home. I was just thinking how it is true. A good woman can be a blessing to a man. A bad woman can be a curse to that man and that family. But a good woman can keep up religion in the home. I thought about my dear mother. My mother was a virtuous woman. In my eyes, in my mind, all the years I've known my mother, and she has always... I've admired my mother. And like I said, when I was just a child, she taught me to pray. It wasn't I don't love my daddy. He was wonderful too. But my mother, I remember her getting down and teaching me to pray. Now I lay me down to sleep. And that prayer led me to God. It was that mother, the religion in the home. Very important that a woman keeps godly. And no matter what happens, that she will be strong for the Lord and keep that religion in that home and keep a fear of God upon her soul. It can do much good to the family. And even after your children are raised and gone, you have grandchildren, it still can do much good for you to stay true to God and be faithful. That's why God put so much stress upon it, to be a virtuous woman. Like I said, this is for men too. And I want to read Exodus 18 and 21. It said here, God looks for able men and women. In Exodus 18 and 21, it says here, the same kind of person God looks for to become judges over his people. In Exodus 18, 21, it says, moreover, thou shalt provide out of all the people able men, such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, and place such over them to be rulers of thousands, and rulers of hundreds, rulers of 50, and rulers of tens, and let them judge the people at all seasons. And it shall be that every great matter they shall bring unto thee, but every small matter they shall judge. This is when Moses was wanting some help, but it says able men, or able women, such as fear God. This is what God is looking for, people that really fear him and want to serve him. And you know, when we teach something like this, we want to excel. I was thinking about the scripture in 1 Corinthians 14:12. I'd like to turn to that. The purpose in this is to have an excellent excel, or to be better. 1 Corinthians 14:12 says, even so ye, for as much as ye are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that ye may excel to the edifying of the church. I was reading something before service, and it was saying, the Spirit of God will cause us to want to build up the church and to do better. And if we're a woman tonight, we can try to do better. You know, try to excel in these virtues. For a man, we can try to be better. Do better, excel, and be a man of God and have the fear of God. This is what God's looking for. This will bless us. And I want to continue reading there, but it says, her price is far above rubies. And it says, the heart of her husband does safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. I want to turn over to Haggai 1 and 6. My brother Souders taught us this message years ago, this one message about, wasn't so much the message about the Proverbs, but it was this scripture he used. It says, ye have sown much and bring in little. Ye eat, but ye have not enough. Ye drink, but ye are not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put it into a bag with holes. That was his text, but he taught us that, and you've heard that, you know, a woman can take out more out the back door than a man can bring in. But a bag with holes. And if we're single, we're not even married, we can think about this, that are we taking our finances and putting them in a bag with holes? We're not really being diligent with that money, but we're just spending it carelessly and not being careful. But it says, I wanted to tie in that scripture with that. And then it goes on to say, she will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. A virtuous woman will do her husband good and not evil all the days of her life. This is her life. Even though my mother now, my father's passed away 2 years, but my mom is living a virtuous life. She's not dating men, not that it's wrong. I mean, the Bible says if your husband's dead, you are free to get married if God works that out. But my mom's not doing that. It's her choice, you know. She's a virtuous woman. She's taking care of, she's helping us out still. She's at my sister's house helping her, doing things for her, taking meals to her. My mom's a good woman, and I'm using that for example, that she's a virtuous woman. And it didn't stop when Dad died, but it continued. And this scripture says, she will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. Even if she outlives her husband, she will take care of the estate that he left her with dignity. She will still do him good all the days of her life. She will treat her children well after he's dead and gone. She will still be faithful, be a virtuous woman. I admire that in my mother. I remember many times when I thought about her, I thought about when she came home. She worked in a factory to help my dad for a while. And she would come home, and sometimes she'd be so tired before she could get supper, she'd have to go take a nap. And many nights I'd remember her resting in there. And she worked hard. And then she also had the duties of cleaning the house and washing the clothes. But, you know, my mom was so good. And she never complained. And I remember there's sometimes when I got to be a teenager, I decided I wanted to cook, so I'd just fix supper for Mom in the summertime when I was out of school. And she came home, and she was so happy to have supper ready. But I didn't really realize. I was too young to realize how important it was to her. I was just doing it because I wanted to, but I didn't do it every day. And later after I grew up and realized what it was like to be a mother and a wife, I said, Mom, why didn't you tell me to do it every day? I could have helped you more. And she said, well, I didn't want to put that responsibility on you. I just wanted you to have your teenage life. And if you wanted to do it, you could. If you didn't, you didn't have to. That's the kind of mother I had and have. I just thank the Lord for that. But it goes on to say, she seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. And, you know, she takes care of the family. I have a daughter and all my daughters, but I won't name the name or anything, but all of them I noticed, but I don't want to embarrass anyone. But I'm just thinking about how you see sometimes them searching coupons or searching bargains and trying to get things for their children. And then you realize that they're seeking these things because they want to get a good price for them. And sometimes it's hard to find saintly clothes. You just have to search a little bit harder to find those clothes, you know, and keep those children warm and have changes for the winter and things like that. But it says she does that. She seeks wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant ships. She bringeth her food from afar. You know, if it's needful, if she can't provide it nearby, she'll find it somehow. She will search for it and make sure that everything is provided in that home that's needed. She riseth also while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. You know, even at night, if it's needful, she'll get up and she'll work and she'll do what she has to do to keep that household going. I knew of a person one time that was fixing Thanksgiving dinner, and they got up real early and they were fixing and making a little bit of noise in the kitchen, and some of the family members that was visiting complained about him making so much noise and they couldn't sleep very well. Not realizing that a little woman probably would like to get some sleep herself. But she was up there trying to fix the meal. But you know, that's what women do that are virtuous. My mother, that's another thing I remember about her. She would get up early and she would get the turkey going maybe like 4 o'clock in the morning so we could eat at noon. She would be up working, you know, stuffing that turkey and getting things ready. You know, we want to be like that. We want to be a virtuous woman. May the Lord help us. It goes on to say, she considereth the field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hands, she planteth a vineyard. I remember one time I was reading about a woman. One time her husband was gone and an opportunity came for the family. And she had to make the decision. Her husband wasn't there. She didn't even have time to call him and get his advice. She had to make the decision. What are you going to do if you're in that place, women? Are you going to just let it go by? Or are you going to consider the field and buyeth it? Because sometimes you're going to have to be a woman. And you're going to have to stand up and do it. Because your husband's not always going to be there. But it says she has the capability of making wise decisions. She can consider it. She considered this opportunity. Is this a wise thing for my household? Is this something I should do? She considereth a field and buyeth it. The Lord made it so that we are intelligible too. We can make decisions, you know. And it says she considereth the field and buyeth it, and the fruit of her hands she planteth a vineyard. She can plant gardens, she can plant flowers, she can do many things to make that home beautiful. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good and her candle goeth out not out by night. Her candle goeth not out by night. How many times do you have to work at night? She rises early. This is her business. I wrote this down. She contributes much to the happy home. She loves her business. This is her life, her home. She rises early. She loves to cook. Her merchandise is good. Her husband's clothes are cared for. I remember one time, if you'll let me use this example, I'm trying to use some examples about my mother. One time my uncle was visiting us, and this was years ago. He's dead and gone now, but he's getting ready to go to town, and his shirt was very wrinkled. And my mom said, his wife was there, but his shirt was very wrinkled, and he started to walk out the door, and she says, you are not going to town like that. She said, you come back, and I'll iron that shirt, because people know there's two women living here. And if you go out looking like that, we're going to look bad. Do you know, if your husband's not dressed right, it's not so much he looks bad, you look bad. Because you haven't ironed the shirt. And sad to say, this was years ago, I don't think I heard anybody, I won't tell who it was, because they're dead and gone. But I sat behind some people, And their husband's shirt was so wrinkled, and I mean, not just a little bit. It was terrible. And this wasn't just one Sunday. It was Sunday after Sunday. And I thought, I just don't understand this. I don't understand why they don't iron that shirt. I just couldn't believe it. But, you know, I believed it because it was true. But I just thought, you know, that it says, you know, the virtuous woman will iron the shirt. The virtuous woman will make sure that her husband looks all right. And I might say this too, and I don't want to offend men, but sometimes their color matching isn't, I'm not just saying, my husband does pretty well at it. Lots of times he does it without my help. So I don't want people thinking I'm talking about him, but I know of some other men that will put brown and blue together, and so brown and blue can go together in certain circumstances, but sometimes they're not too much in the color matching, and sometimes the wife has to watch that. Because sometimes they'll put something on that does not match. It doesn't look good together. But you know, this is the woman's business to bless her family, to bless her children. Same with little children. Sometimes little children, if they're left to their own, they don't know how to put things together. They'll put the wrong things together, the wrong color matching. So it's the woman. It looks bad on the woman if this goes on and it's not taken care of. So a woman has a lot of business to do. It goes on, it says, her candles go not out by night. I was reading this before I came to service, and I thought about, you know, now I don't always do this, and I don't want anyone to think that, because like today, I went out to eat today. But there's some, and I'm not saying you have to do it on Sunday. I was just reading this. It was mainly about a pastor and his wife, which And I know that Sister Rosie does, and I'm saying her name because I know she does real well in the cooking area, and I'm not saying her for that either. But I'm just saying that it said how that she had to plan ahead for the dinner, because otherwise, you know, if you don't plan ahead, if you go home and cook, and which I have done that sometimes on Sunday, I go home and cook. And then time I clean up the kitchen and everything, it's way in the middle of the afternoon. But if, sisters, if we would plan ahead, and maybe on the Saturday night, and I know sometimes our Saturday nights, which my last night was very busy and I couldn't do that, but if we can plan ahead and put something in the crock pot or something and plan ahead, then our Sundays can go better for us. But it's the woman's business. I don't know, maybe there's some men here that do that for you, if you, fine, but it's usually not that way. It's usually the woman's business to make sure that that meal is ready. Unless you have plans to go out to dinner, fine, that's fine, you know. Like I said, I did it myself today, but, you know, but even during the week, it's our responsibility to plan good meals. It's our responsibility to have these things. And sometimes the responsibility seems very big to us, but may the Lord help us to be excited about it, to be happy about it, to love our business, to love the job that God has given us, and to be excellent in it, to be even better in it. Try our very best to keep it excited as the years go by, to keep happy about it. I know that's one reason. If you know me very personally, I'm trying to look into recipes and things. I think the reason I'm doing that is a challenge to myself to keep my life exciting, to keep what I have to do anyway, to try to keep it exciting and happy. And you know, and also I love to share it with other people because it makes their life happy and makes their life exciting. But may the Lord help us. It says, let's read on here because I want to make sure and cover this. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. You know, Chris is talking about sewing. Years ago, I think there was more sewing probably among us than there is today, but I remember Sister Marcia White told me, she says, it seemed like when you get saved with the saints, there's two things you automatically they think you need to, you know how to do, is that sew and sing. I tell you what, the only thing I knew how to so when I got saved was put a thread through the needle. Basically all I knew, how to maybe sew a button on or something like that. But I tell you, back then I just had to learn how to sew. I had to get a sewing machine and learn because I just couldn't get clothes for my little girls. I had three little girls. I didn't have boys I could put blue jeans on and a shirt on. I had little girls that had to have Saint dresses, and I had to learn how to sew. Not so much that, but if you don't sew, you still have to know how to search for Saint clothes, and it's your job. It's your job. But, you know, may the Lord help us. Some women probably can sew better and can enjoy it better, but the Lord knows. But still, we have to be aware of if your husband has a button that needs to be sewed on, or, you know, you gotta have to be aware of these things, women, that we have to do those things. And it says, she stretcheth out her hand to the poor, yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. And I was thinking about how a godly woman will have manage her money, so she'll have some left over to give to the poor. And some women and or men purpose in their heart to do that so they can have. And I won't say what I've heard, but I've heard about some women here that are doing that, and I admire that. And sometimes, you know, word gets around about your good deeds that you don't know others are hearing. But I really admire how the Lord is doing that with the women. And, you know, I was thinking how that we need to be aware, too. Sometimes we have visitors, especially during camp meetings. We have widows. We have women that come here that maybe just know they don't have a lot of money. And it's always not always the offering box, saints, that we need to put money into. We need to put money into these hands of these widows and these women that have to travel far and they don't have a husband. And it doesn't take a lot of common sense to know that they need some money. And I'm telling you what, it's good to put it in the offering box. But if that's all we ever do and we don't see these needs to these poor people, then there's something wrong. The Holy Spirit wants to talk to us. The Holy Spirit wants to tell us that so-and-so needs something. Go give it to them. You can give it additional to that. It says tithes and offerings. So it's beyond just, God wants everything you have. If whatever you got in your purse, you whatever, if God says take it out, give it to somebody, give it to them. The Lord, I remember years ago one time, I knew someone that just gave every bit that they had, and they didn't have any extra money, but they just gave it. I remember a testimony of a minister one time they were talking that, and this just sounds, you know, really, but it was just like all they had in their pocket. And the Lord told them to give it to someone else. And they just went ahead and gave it, every bit of it. And they didn't have any extra. But before, I think that very day was out, someone gave them twice as much of the camping that they had gave away. But you know, it says, she stretcheth out her hands to the poor. Yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. And also I want to say, I really admire the women that can cook good. It's not always money, but you know, I tell you what, when you can cook a good meal and share it with somebody, or you can cook something for them and just share it with them, that is such a great blessing sometimes. Everybody has to eat, and everybody loves to eat, but you know, I mean, that's the way it is, and that if you can just make something for somebody, they'll never forget that. Never forget that when they were sick or they were tired or if you know someone has a big family and you just want to come Sunday and I'm preaching to myself too, you know, just do something extra. I love our congregation to work. We've heard about unity, but you know, this will bring unity, love, to show each other love when we're in need, show each other by deeds. You know, I believe, I don't have the scripture, but it says, if we just say only be warmed and filled, yet we don't do anything to cause that person to be warm and filled. You know, we can say all day long, God bless you, but if we don't do anything to bless that person, you know, but there's works, there's deeds that go along with our faith. And faith alone is not what God wants, but God wants our faith to be demonstrated by our works and so forth. And then it goes on, it says, she's not afraid of the snow of her, for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. I believe when I read that, scarlet is a strong cloth. But it says her family is warmed. She's not afraid when the snow comes because those children have boots. The children have mittens. The children have what they need. So if the snow comes, they're ready to go to school. Because the mother has been prepared. Maybe she bought it in the summertime. Maybe there was a sale going on. She was looking forward to that winter that's coming. And I'm going to buy this coat for my child. And it's going to have it ready. So when that snow comes, I don't have to be afraid that child can't go to school today because this doesn't have any clothes. It doesn't have any coat. But the woman is looking for the bargains. Way ahead, a virtuous woman. Way ahead. A man, if he had all these things to do, he couldn't do it. He has too much other work to do. And I want to say this to the men. I appreciate hardworking men. I appreciate my husband. I appreciate men that work day in and day out. And they I know that it said in the Bible that was they were going to earn their living by the sweat of their brow. But still, it takes a faithful man and a godly man to work every day and get up early. And lots of times the women can go back to sleep. And they can set their alarm clock and just go back to sleep for a while. I used to do it. My husband would get up early and I'd sleep a little longer before I had a family. But, lots of times, they're just faithful every day, working. And, they have so much of their own business to do. They cannot look on the household. That's why God gave the woman her business to do. She's got a business to do. And she needs, the more that she does her duty good, it takes that load off the husband. The husband don't have to worry about those children being clothed because he knows he has a good wife to go out there and search for things and the children will have what they need. He doesn't have to worry if he comes home and says, honey, I want supper ready at 5:00. Now, my husband, years ago, before he was self-employed, he would come home at a certain hour. I knew he'd be home at 5:00. And supper, I don't know, there might have been a time I didn't have it ready, but you can ask him. I tried to have it ready every time he'd come home. But, the man doesn't have to worry. I'll come home, and my wife won't have nothing ready for me to eat. But he knows he'll come home, and she'll have a good supper ready because she loves him, because she appreciates what he's done, so she'll have it ready for him. The children will be neat and clean. The house will be cleaned. She will just, we must take delight and love our business. And I was, I wrote something down here, but it said, why does it take more energy to clean a house than to make it messy? But it does. It takes a lot more energy, doesn't it? Seem like you can clean the house in a little bit of time. It could get messed up really fast. But it says there's more effort to restore order than there is to fall out of disorder. We need to build up the church. We need to build up our lives. It takes more effort to restore order than it does to fall out of disorder. So it's going to take more of our energy to be this kind of person. But we ask the Lord to help us. Lord, this is what you want me to do. It says, she's not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Tapestry is, I wrote that down, it's like you've seen beautiful tapestries. A heavy cloth woven by hand, machinery with decorative designs used as a wall hanging. Beautiful tapestry. She says she maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. Her husband is known in the gates. Her husband may be successful at his business or whatever, but lots of times the woman is behind helping, doing what she can. And I might say, too, that I believe a woman's job is in the home. But there's sometimes that women have to work some to assist her husband. I had to do it for a while, and I did it. And then when the Lord worked it out where I could stop, and I'm just saying this, I got my real estate license. I helped my husband. I listed mostly all his houses. There was a couple that came available that was going to build a house. I did. But, I had a temptation to go after that. to be more involved in real estate because I loved it. I loved looking at houses. I loved showing houses. But I realized that that wasn't my calling. My calling was to be a woman in the home. My calling was to be a minister. And the Lord dealt with my soul. He said, if you go after that, you'll get so involved, you'll have no time for me. You'll have no time for, you know, real estate people are so busy. They're busy Sundays. They're busy constantly. They're called on. But you know, the Lord said, no, you need to back off. Don't get into that temptation. Be a woman. So women that have to work, if you have to work for a while, but the main job you have is your home. Even if you're working for the Lord, your main job is still in the home. And sometimes you have to just consider that this is my job, first of all, is to work for the Lord. I mean, work in my home and then work for the Lord. But you still have to consider your husband. You know, you married a husband. And women and men, you married a wife. You made vows. That's a responsibility. And you can't just say, well, I'm just going to go off. I can't say right now without my husband's permission. I can't say, well, I'm just going to go take off to California, or I'm going to go to Florida camp meeting, or I'm going to do this or that, and I'll be gone a week, honey. Fix your own food. You know, do the bookkeeping. I'm going to go work for the Lord. I work for the Lord if the Lord, he gives me permission, because I'm submissive to my husband. He's the one I married, and I have a responsibility to my husband. And sometimes the Lord has worked it out where I could go for 2 or 3 days to a meeting, but still I have to honor my husband. The Lord gave him to me. I have to respect that. You see, this is what the Lord wants us to do. It says, she maketh fine linen and selleth it and delivereth girdles to the merchants. She can buy and sell. She considers and she can buy and sell. And sometimes she has to buy and sell without her husband around or without, because he has too much to do. One time I was praying about something around the house and I was thinking, should I do this or should I do that? Or should I wait till I ask Jerry? And I kept troubled about it. And the Lord spoke to me and said, it's your job. It's your job. You don't have to worry Jerry about every little thing. There's some things you have to take the initiative and take care of. And sometimes, you know, we can just go to our husbands too much. You know, like we might say, what do you want for dinner tomorrow? What do you want for dinner tomorrow? What do you want for dinner the next day? You know, so they just finally say, you know, why don't you figure that out? Because I have a lot of important things to take care of. You know, and women sometimes, we don't get it. We just think, why can't he listen to me? This is so important to me because it's my woman's business, you know. And sometimes they do tell you what they want a certain time, but you know, we pretty well know. We can make decisions without always bothering and trying to get our husband. And there's things around the house we need to clean out and get rid of. We don't always have to ask our husband. If it's not something that belongs to him, or it's not something real expensive, you know, we can buy and sell. We can take care of some things. We can be women and take care of some things. It says, so she buys and sells. And it says, strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. Strength and honor. And Lord, help us to have strength and honor. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. May the Lord help us to have that kindness and wisdom. That's what the Lord wants us to have. You know, the Lord can help us to do that. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. You know, idleness is mentioned in the Bible several times, not to be idle. Idle words, idleness. There's a sign that says, I shall not be idle. You know, we don't want to be idle. Idle, we've heard that saying, I don't believe it's in the Bible, but it says, it may be similar to that, but idleness is the devil's tool. Pardon? Okay, the idle mind is the devil's workshop, but we can fill our time. Women can fill our time, even though, you know, some women say, and I've heard this say, well, I'm just so bored at home. I'm just so bored. I just, you know, there's so many things that a woman's business at home, you don't have to be bored. And it may be that we're getting bored because we're getting bored about what we have to do over and over and over. But somehow we have to get a hold of something that we can make it exciting. We can love it. We can love cooking that meal. We can love, you know, if you're getting a drudgery, get some new recipes. Share them with the sisters in the church, you know. Do something extraordinary. Do something to make your life exciting, you know. Make your home happy. And says, she looketh well to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously. Thou excellest them all. It says, favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. One of the last things that mentions here, but the one of the most important things, is the woman that fears the Lord. What would the United States be like? What would the world be like if there was all women that feared the Lord? Just think of it. What a change it would be. We wouldn't have to pray so much for our government if those women up there were godly women that feared the Lord, or the men were godly men that feared the Lord. We wouldn't have to pray so hard. We wouldn't have to be so troubled in our heart and mind. It's the lack of fear of God in our country. But it says, but a woman that fear, it's a, they put so much on the beauty in the world, beautify the outside, beautify the women, the men, but especially the women seems to put so much emphasis on that. But beauty is vain if they don't fear the Lord. You could get a woman that's beautiful on the outside, and she could just be so evil on the inside. She could be so evil, she could ruin your whole life. And she might look beautiful on the outside, but she could just be no fear of God in her. And you would find out, oh my, this isn't what I want. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. And there's a scripture that says that the Lord beautifies the meek with salvation. That's the kind of beauty we want, is salvation. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. I just want to encourage us tonight, not just the women, the men too, that the Lord wants to help us to be excellent, have excellent. I had wrote down just a couple little things here I wanted to read, but I guess I didn't get that one scripture in Proverbs 19:14. I wanted to get that too. Proverbs 19:14, it says, house and riches are the inheritance of fathers, and a prudent wife is from the Lord. Slothfulness casteth into a deep sleep, and an idle soul shall suffer hunger. She employs herself to the woman's business, and she loves it. She does it with all her might. To get this, I want to read these definitions before I sit down. Challenge, a call to take part in a demanding task. Isn't it a demanding task to do all these things and to be excellent in it? It's a demanding task, but it's a challenge for us. Challenge for me, to call to take part in a demanding task. Exceptional, much above average in quality and ability. The Lord wants us to be exceptional. Exceptional Christians. Much above average. Excellent. Outstandingly good. Exceptional merit, virtue. Excelling, surpassing. May the Lord help us. Pray for me.